head here.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm gonna go. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Dan. My God, I'm tired this morning. How about you?
You're tired because yesterday was a big day. It was
It was.
Bob Sherwood's birthday.
Well, I've had quite a few birthdays before this, but yes,
So
it was
tell me,
a good day.
what was the highlight? What was the highlight of your birthday? I know there was one thing that I was struggling with that you would do, but why don't you tell me what would you in your birthday?
Well, let's
Would
see.
you?
One of my listeners, name unknown, was at my party,
To
my
protect
birthday
the
party.
innocent, huh? Yeah.
And that listener told me that Mr. Sherwood, if people were listening to your podcasts, you're now totally unemployable. You cannot find another job.
Well, unemployable into what arena were they talking about? The
Who
legal
knows? I
arena,
mean,
the
remember they were a liberal, and like a liberal, when I asked them for a specific example, they couldn't give me one.
Oh, they kind of just danced around, huh?
Right. Well, they're liberals, you know, they deal in conceptual things, not in detail. So I said, just give me one example of something I said. And I said, was it because I said communism isn't necessarily bad? And I don't know if they remembered that. But anyway, they never even asked me to explain that. But anyway, yeah, they said this particular listener has many friends that listen. And they were all talking and trying to find out if something was wrong with me. Now, here's the point that I thought was the most interesting, was that they loved the challenging of you to me and me to you.
Ah, well, we've been at that both personally and professionally now for gosh, 15 since we met in 2006, right? So we've been at it for a while. Generally, we see some things the same. Probably, what would you say percentage-wise? I would say we see a 45%. No, 42% things the same, and then
Your
50.
audio is gone. Your audio went away from me for a while, but no, I'd say we probably don't agree on anything. I mean, the only times I think we agree is what time we start the podcast.
You kill me.
Well,
Because,
tell
well,
me something we agree on.
I know, well, we
There
agree
we go, right?
on super aging. You're a youthful guy. You stay young. You stay active. You are always, it's like
But what do we agree on?
we agree
Let
that
me
the
help you with this.
mind,
Start like the start. We agree on, and then finish the sentence.
we, that's what my daughter always says. She says, Dad, finish the sentence. We agree on that the mind should always be seeking new knowledge and growth.
Okay, I'm wrong. So we do agree on that. We do agree on that. The mind should always be seeking new knowledge and growth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely right. I've tried to encourage my kids, for example, my sons and my daughter-in-laws to basically take courses in college. I mean, it's like 4-week courses or 5-week online courses, right? That are totally different than what their normal skill set is. Or it could be on the edge. I give an example. I took a very interesting course in arbitration. I'm not going to be an arbitrator. I understand that. But I took a course in arbitration from Johnson County Community College. I find that it was very interesting. The teachers were interesting. There were some interesting stories. They talked about how arbitration works. They talked about the difference between arbitration and mediation. Actually, I hadn't known that in the past. And they I'd say what I took away from that was something that was kind of obvious in hindsight, is that the way you can get to the truth is just keep asking questions. And for example, even in arbitration, the arbitrator asks questions of both people in order to get both sides of the story, but also to have the other person listen to the other side of the story.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, which is true.
Questions are very, very, very important.
Now, I remember this, if it's the class that you took that was a couple years ago, but was that on arbitration or mediation? I thought it was on mediation, being a mediator, which is very similar, although arbitration has more of a...
Well, what's the difference since you just brought it up?
Well, it seemed to, when I say arbitration, I would have more of a legal document focus, where mediation is more of a solution.
There's a very distinct difference between arbitration and mediation.
Okay, you're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you what it is, because a lot of people don't think about it that way, but it is. The distinct difference is, I'll tell you in just 1 minute, the distinct difference is that in arbitration, the arbitrator can propose a solution. The arbitrator can say to both parties, party A and party B, I've listened to both sides of the story. I think a possible solution is this. So the arbitrator can actually provide solutions. Now, the people don't have to agree with it, of course, right?
Right.
The arbitrator can provide a solution. I've listened. Here's what I think is an acceptable solution to both of you. And he might even agree with one side over the other. He might say, you know, side A, you've got a lot stronger case. That's part of my solution. Now, in mediation, you can't do that. In mediation, the mediator cannot propose a solution. The mediator can go to party A and say, party A, do you have a solution to your disagreement with party B? Or party B, do you have a solution? But he can't comment on the merits of either solution, can't take either sides, and can't propose a solution. Now, there's some other little maybe nuanced points. That's the big distinct difference, right? Now, I've been in both mediation and arbitration. And arbitration, I've been in a massive arbitration where three judges were involved, and there was an $8 million lawsuit, and the judge would go to one side, let's say that was us, and he would say, what's your low to high range of settlement? And of course, this has to be super confidential, but we told the judge it's between 4 and 9 million. And that's we're not playing any games there with the judge, or the judge would just throw us out. He said, okay, that's your range, all right?
Uh-huh.
Then he goes to the other side and he asks them for their range, also confidential. Now, let's say they gave them a range of 11 million to 20 million. The judge would just come back and say, no, there's no possibility for a solution here. But if the other side said their range, let's say 6 to 12 million, since the ranges overlapped, the judge would come back and say to side A, I think there's a chance we can solve, so we're going to go ahead with the arbitration. But the judge looks for an overlapping of low and high numbers to start with. And both sides have to be completely honest with the judge. If not, the judge would throw one of the parties out.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you keep cutting out on your audio. Your audio is cutting out. Your audio is cutting out. Your audio
in general,
is
high
cutting
level,
out.
Those in all your years working with law firms that represented them or was against them, what? I mean, it kind of would be fascinating, I think, to our listeners, viewers. What's the highest dollar amount, if you can share, with not breaking confidentiality, the highest dollar amount that you've ever been associated with on either side?
$300 million.
Three?
And by the way, I keep telling you, your audio is cutting out every once in a while.
It is.
Yeah.
That's not
the high-priced mic you bought.
Well, you
so
know.
So let's jump around a bit. So he asked me about my birthday, which was yesterday. And I think I've told you that according to my parents, I was born in 1942, but I've learned that I could not trust my parents because they obviously lied to me about a lot of things. I mean, from Santa Claus to the good, you know, to the good fairy, all that, right?
The Easter Bunny, right?
But the Easter Bunny, right? So I'm thinking maybe I was born in like 48 or 49. Can't be sure. But anyway,
Well, you're a young man.
I was born sometime in the 40s.
Yes. Well, you're a youthful, high energy, super knowledge seeking guy. That's why I love hanging out with you. But now yesterday. Now this is a big difference. We talk about you and I having conflict.
Right.
You maybe your bride, Helen, your wonderful bride, maybe she gave you this as a gift, but you got a manicure right on your birthday. Is that
I
correct?
got a manicure and a pedicure.
That's what we were going to get to. Folks, if you're listening, I would be interested in hearing. Now, I've had a manicure, but I've never had a pedicure. And I'm really concerned, Bob. It took me really some deep breaths and some, okay, Bob is still all these great things. But a guy that has a pedicure, just, from a small town in Nebraska, first off, we didn't have somebody doing pedicures. But I mean, do you want to tell us about your pedicure, how that,
Yeah, a pedicure is just a manicure on your feet. That's all.
and so how
No
does that
difference.
feel?
Pardon me?
How does that
Well,
feel?
it feels good. The tickling part of a manicure is when they take like a hard brush. Well, it's relatively hard. They scrape off the skin on the bottom of your foot.
Now,
That's very ticklish, right?
everyone that knows you, enjoys you, likes you, even wonders about
Yeah.
you sometimes would say
That's only a
Bob
couple of
Sherwood
people, but
having
go
the
ahead. Yeah.
saying he was tickled. Bob Sherwood saying he was tickled on the bottom of his foot.
Right, a ticklish,
That's
right?
breaking news right here. Right
But
here on the internet. That's breaking news that your feet were tickled.
now, the thing about a pedicure is that it's good for you because first, you don't get any hangnails on your toes. That's the first thing. A lot of people, their toenails grow at different lengths on different sizes. Like on my left big toe, the left side of my toenail grows about twice as fast as the right side of my toenail on my left toe. Yeah, on my right toe, on my left foot, anyway, whatever it was. But the point is, now they're about the same length. They get them cut off, right? And
Oh, so
the other
they're.
thing nice is that they do give you a nice leg massage.
Oh, they do. Okay,
Yeah,
so
so they
toenail
massage.
management. So the leg massage, you sit in one of those chairs that goes
Oh
rah,
my gosh, you just go to sleep. I lean back in the chair. I put my hands out, and they gave me a man. I don't have to change the chair, so they give me a manicure in the chair. And then they give me the
they say that this Christmas time, those sale of those chairs, because they've come down from $6,000 to $3,000, you can now buy one for less than $1,000, be one of
Really?
the hottest selling items.
I didn't know
Another
that.
thing that's hot,
Gosh,
did
you're
you?
just full of interesting information, huh?
Yes, I am, especially health. I'm still trying to get over the pedicure, thinking my friend had a pedicure, but is the LED far infrared sauna, where you're surrounded by
Yeah.
red light sauna. That I have one. I have one. I and those folks, those are the future of proactive, holistic health care. Check it out.
Now,
Google it.
I wouldn't mind buying one. There's two places that I can always go to sleep. One is in a dentist chair, and two is in a manicure chair or a pedicure chair. I don't like the manicure, where you sit in a hard chair and they just put your hands out there. I don't like that. It gets uncomfortable. But sitting in the
But
real
your
big
feet, it's
pedicure,
okay.
pardon me?
It's okay for your feet.
Well, on your feet, you get in a bigger chair. So I like to take the manicure in the chair where you get the pedicure.
Okay.
So
All
I
right.
don't have to
So
move, right?
I want, since you have a lot of communication and our listeners, viewers really communicate with you, I want to know, I want them, viewers, listeners, I want you to say to Bob, thumbs down or thumbs up on the pedicure. So, Bob, you'll kind of get a feeling how your audience is
I
viewing.
don't see my audience at all. They're not listening in, but they should email me at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com and tell me what they think I'm
That's
saying
it.
that makes me unemployable. Now, I'll tell you an interesting fact, and we're kind of like just bantering this morning, which is fine. My wife was there getting a manicure. Now, I sat down next to my wife because her manicure takes much longer than my manicure and my pedicure. So when I sat down, her manicurist was just, painting her fingernails. Her manicurist is from Cambodia, speaks very good English, And so I started talking to her, and it turns out she had just got back from China. And so she told me a couple things that I didn't know. One, she said, because she's a visitor to China, she's not Chinese, she's Cambodian, although she speaks Mandarin. She said that every place she went there, she had to, if she got on the subway, she had to use her passport. If she got off the subway, she had to use her passport, right? She went to a, no matter what she did, she had to use her passport, and said that the Chinese like that because it makes, they track all the visitors like that.
They track where people go and
Right.
are.
So they knew everything she's doing, what hotel, what restaurant, what subway she took, where she, because she has to use her passport every time she's going somewhere for identity. So that was one thing that I thought was interesting. And I thought, I wonder how Americans would feel if we had to end up doing something like that.
Oh man, now that would be all over social media. Big Brother, government
Right.
interference, government too
But
much.
now remember, they're tr as I understood this, they're tracking visitors, not the Chinese people.
Okay.
She was a visitor. In other words, she's Cambodian, not Chinese. You see the distinction I'm making? All
Yes,
right, thank
visitors,
God.
okay.
Right. Okay, so they're tracking visitors. It'd be like us when somebody comes across the border, they're issued a passport, if you will. And everywhere they go, they got to show their passport. So we can track every visitor. Somebody visits us from England, right? And they get a
Yeah.
visa. They show their passport, they come in. Now they show their passport every place else they go. So we can track that visitor from England. So they're tracking visitors, as I understand it, not Chinese.
Okay.
So, secondly, I asked her, I said, what about the education over there? She said, well, now I didn't check this out. So I didn't do any fact checking on this, but I found this to be fascinating. She said that the Chinese children are enrolled in school, but they stay in the school 5 days a week. They only come home on the weekends.
They actually stay at the educational institution, sleep there.
Yes, Dan. That's right. Let
So
me
it's
review
almost like a
again.
college, it's almost like a college institution, like for.
It's just the kids stay there. Now they, she said the Chinese government, they rationalize this on the basis that they want both parents to work and become productive. So typically they both have jobs, they're both productive. The kids go to school and stay there. Then they come home on the weekends where the parents see them.
I just love this. So when we had, ironically, as your email is webtalkwithbob@gmail.com, where people can write us, our radio program a few years back was called Web Talk with Bob, where we had breaking news when the iPhone first came out, you were talking about. But one of the things you were, when we had guests, you were always a great questioner. You have the great questions. And so I'm sure this woman was like, you ask lots of questions. I'm not making fun of her language. I'm just throwing in a little. You ask lots of questions.
That's so racist. I
Is
hope
that
people
racist?
listen to this, right, and know who you now really are.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm
That
just
is
trying to
so
put it into
racist. Oh my
perspective.
God. You.
Anybody that knows me knows that's not true. I love everybody. I'm a small town Nebraska guy. Now, let me ask you
Just
this.
made fun of roughly 1.2 billion people.
I'm gonna be in trouble. I'm gonna have helicopters, black helicopters outside my
Yeah.
So at any time did Helen say, Bob, you're asking her so many questions, or did Helen enjoy it? Because she knows
No,
you.
Helen knows. I am always on the road to discovery.
Yes, you are.
For
That's what keeps you
me,
young.
the road we should all be on is the road to discovery.
There. Wait a minute, quote, folks. Quote that.
Yeah.
We should all be on the road to discovery,
Yeah,
Bob
because that's
Sherwood.
essentially what we're doing. I mean, from the time we're a baby, we discover that if we cry, they pick us up.
Yeah.
We cry long enough, they feed us, right?
Yeah.
So we're the whole process of life is one of discovery at many different levels. At a
Yeah.
behavioral level, we learn that if we ask for things, there's a good chance we'll get them. If we don't ask for them, there's a much higher chance we won't get them.
Yes.
Gardner for years always said, hey, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's right.
So the issue of, now going back to Chinese for a second. So yeah, I asked her some questions about the Chinese electric vehicles. You know, I'm a buyer of NIO stock, NIO. And I asked her, I said, is NIO a popular car in China? She said, yes, it's the most popular. I said, what about Tesla? She said, no, not many people buy Teslas, which kind of surprised me because I heard they had a big facility there and built a lot of EVs there. But anyway, she says the EV is very popular over there, right? And that NIO, which is the stock that I'm talking about, which makes a really great car.
Really? NIO, is it? NIO?
Yeah. NIO. She apparently had followed the stock because she said, yeah, it was really high. It was real high. It was like $50 a share. Now it's $4.50.
Wow.
I believe it's, coming back because eventually these EV companies in China, I don't care what Trump says, they'll eventually get back in the United States. He can put all the tariffs he wants on them, but just like Hyundai, just like Toyota, all those other cars that from Japan and from South Korea, they eventually get in the United States. Maybe NIO will do a deal with Ford or something like that. You know, when Ford finally figures out they don't know how to build these EVs, they'll side up with a company like NIO. So anyway,
which would be a good, which before that'd be a good segue, maybe talk about some of the appointments or whatever, but let me go back historical. Cause I'm sure our listeners, your fans want to know this because it's always a common question for anybody over the age of say,
12.
I guess 50 now.
Right.
Your birthday was yesterday, November 22nd.
Sure.
Where were you? How old were you? Where were you when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas? And do you remember that moment?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He was assassinated?
Had you already had too many beers and you didn't know that?
Oh my gosh. I was 21 years old. I was sitting on the floor of my fraternity house in Lawrence, Kansas. And
Jayhawk, huh?
I was a Jayhawk. Yeah. So, sure. But there's most of the people that are listening, I can tell right now, they don't even know who John Kennedy was, except maybe from the books. They probably think it's the John Kennedy that was killed in the airplane that was flying over to.
His son.
Yeah. So most people don't remember that.
Well, if there's a listener that's listening to this, one of the greatest speeches of all time, I used to listen to at least once a year, John F. Kennedy's inaugural address. When he got inaugurated as president, it was the torch has been passed to a new generation. He's one of the greatest statesmen, orators of our time. And I was just a young pup. I used to pretend as a little boy that I was President Kennedy. My dad, remember, they don't make these anymore. Remember how people used to give these pen and pencil sets? They'd have like a base, maybe a marble base, and then it'd have a couple things you'd stick the pens in. And
yeah, I guess we can figure that out, Dad.
Yeah. I used to pretend those were microphones, and I would pretend I was John F. Kennedy talking to the world.
While you're on it, we might as well go over the stuff. What was the most important thing he said that everybody remembers?
To me, it was the energy, the faith, the devotion that we bring to this endeavor.
Dan, you're disappointing.
No, it is, because it's big picture stuff.
Oh, the thing that he said that everybody quotes is, ask not what you can do for your country.
Yeah,
ask what you can do for your, ask not what you can do for something else. Ask what you can do for your country.
Yes.
Ask
yeah,
not
that was.
What your
and
country
he says
can
that
do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the inaugural address, which I hope somebody will write you, Web Talk with Bob at Gmail, and say, I listened to that Kennedy YouTube speech. It was amazing. Wish we had more presidents.
Was
like
he a
that.
Democrat or Republican?
I'm a registered Republican. My mom and dad were Democrats.
Was Kennedy a Democrat or Republican?
Kennedy was a Democrat, but in those days, Democrats were more like Republicans. They're a little more conservative than the Democratic Party today.
And who was Bobby Kennedy?
Bobby Kennedy, his brother, became the Attorney General. He was controversial in his day then. He was Attorney General under his brother. What's that?
What happened to him?
And he was assassinated also.
What happened to Martin Luther King?
Assassinated.
And what year were they both assassinated in?
1968.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when the young people think about it now, people listen to us, they don't realize that we grew up at a time when there were, like, Kennedy was assassinated. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated while people watched on TV. Well, John Kennedy, too. We watched him was in the car. But Bobby Kennedy was giving a talk in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He was assassinated there. It was like we were watching.
Yeah. Sirhan Sirhan. I think Sirhan Sirhan was up for parole in the recent years. I think he was denied parole, but I think he really had changed his whole life around in prison. Obviously, you might, but that's, gosh, 1968 to today. Whew.
He changed. In other words, he decided now he wasn't going to assassinate any more presidents. I changed my life around. Let me out. Yeah, I know it was wrong. Oh, you know it was wrong. Yeah, I'm better now. I know. Yeah, you're right. I did eat all the cookies. I did steal all the cookies. But now, hey, by the way, now the cookies are all gone. I'm not going to steal anymore. You can let me out.
A lot of people maybe don't know, again, younger listeners, that Gerald Ford, like President-elect Trump, was attempted to be assassinated twice. Gerald Ford took over for Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
good stuff here.
And I'll tell you, it scares me sometimes to think that maybe Trump would be assassinated. Now, this is horrible for me to say, but I have a lot of confidence in this guy, J.D. Vance, but we elected Trump, and there's so much vile, no, virile, what's the word for evil, virile or something like that, on the liberal side. And each side, and I'm not picking on liberals or Republicans, we each have our 1% crazies, is what I call them, right?
Yeah, which I think truly is about 12% crazies.
We've got a big percent that's crazy on either side, and you don't know what these people will do. Like this guy that goes down to where he plays golf and was going to shoot him, right? I mean, it's just, who are these people that think that solves the problem, right? Oh, we just shoot the guy, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of stupid in a way. So,
Which is fed, unfortunately, by social media. Social media feeds that vitriol.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because before we talk about it, both of us have been around. You've been around for at least 60 years, right? And I've been around for 80, it's 100.
Next week on the December 3rd, 69 years.
Okay, so we've been around for 150 years. Now, social media hasn't been around, right? So let's jump forward. Let's go jump forward 5 years or 6 years. What will social media look like as a news medium in 5 years?
Well, it has become, especially with the younger generation, it has become their go-to source. They find people or pages or sites that they think, well, that's where I get my news. Unfortunately, and you turned me on to this word over a year ago, confirmation bias. Unfortunately, people tend to gravitate, and that's what causes people to get that level of angst that they might try to do something to a person. That they it builds up. It just builds up inside them that they believe everything that they hear there. I get it from both sides, so I can try to be in the middle on radio. But they just believe everything, how bad that Joe Biden is, how bad Donald Trump is. And that's what's scary for America. In my opinion, and if I were in Congress, and I just am shocked nobody has taken the leadership, that they recognize the mental health damage to children. There's a lot of studies on that. In fact, there is a movie on Netflix about social media that I have not watched. Somebody just told me. I was refereeing a basketball game. How we got off on social media. But she said, it was a female ref, one of the best refs I know. She said, you've got to watch this documentary on Netflix.
One you forgot the name of?
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. Hey, Google, what's the social media documentary on Netflix?
I found these results.
What was it?
The Social Dilemma.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised. It's so what I hear you saying is that more and more people will get their news from social media. That won't change. We're not going to go back to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Kansas City Star. It's going to be podcasts like Joe Rogan or somebody like that, influencers, or social media itself. Because I know this, the people that I know that are under 30 or even 35 have not read a newspaper.
Yeah.
Are you there? So
yeah.
So that's where them that's what's happening. And I don't know if it's good or bad. Now, the issue of confirmation bias, that's not caused by social media. Social media is the result of that. Confirmation bias is a behavioral trait. Some of us have it more than others. I contend that liberals have it more than Republicans. They look for things that confirm their beliefs. Republicans are more analytical in general.
Well, so I think the Republicans that you and I
can I finish my statement?
Yes, you can. Okay. Yes.
So the Republicans that I know are a little more analytical. So they're a little less. Yeah, we all have a little confirmation bias in us. We all would like to know that what we believe, everybody else believes, and it's true. No question. But it's a behavioral thing. Some people are born a skeptic. I know a young person close to me that's a total skeptic. I don't know if he believes anything. And I don't know what his fundamental beliefs are. And that
yeah,
back.
Now there's a subject for a whole podcast, because people that believe in the deep, deep state and that everything's a conspiracy and that.
No, that's just the opposite. That's believing in something. I just said believing in nothing.
Oh, well, they question
one is,
everything.
One is
when
a
you
skeptic,
said skeptical, they're skeptical.
Yeah, one is a skeptic and one is being gullible, right?
Yeah.
The gullible person believes in every conspiracy theory. The gullible person still believes there's like 10 people involved in Kennedy's assassination in 1963, more than likely, right? They still believe that, right?
Yeah.
But analytical people either don't think about it anymore or recognize that there was a lot of people looking at it and they couldn't find more than one person. So we have to kind of either believe it or not. But what I'm driving at is that I know people that are total skeptics. They believe nothing. And so that's the issue. But jumping back around, jumping around for a bit here, since we've both been around for a few years, my question is, what have we learned? I mean, if you had a 30-year-old person in front of you right now, and they said, Dan Snell, what can you tell me that will help me in my life? What would you tell them to do? What guiding principles would you give them, if any?
Well, I would say with regards to information is to always not just take everything at face value. Look around, like in Hollywood, you know, you have the set, the front, it's like a building or something. If you go around behind those buildings, it's just 2x4s holding up that set. So find out what's the background. In the case of information, find out about the person, what their background is. Are they just really looking for clicks or make money, you know, selling something or get more viewers? The other thing I would say is breathe, take a breath. Don't immediately overreact or overtly react or agree with everything, because my dad used to say you can watch people's behavior. You can tell a lot about a person, how they respond, which is different than how they react. A response has a more measured, okay, I'm going to think through this, and that's how I'm going to respond. But a reaction is an immediate, argh. And so slow down, get information, gather information. And, of course, you know, I'll say find out about the winsome way of life, be willing, be interested, be a nurturer, all those things, and live a life that's a little more positive looking.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can you become president of the United States and be winsome?
I believe that you can, because part of being winsome.
Name a president that you think was winsome.
Ronald Reagan was winsome.
Right. Okay, I'll go with that. Right, he was certainly a winsome guy, right?
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
He was one of the most winsome
sexual
presidents.
Sexual predator, but winsome, yeah.
Yeah. John F. Kennedy was winsome.
Predator, right. He probably said thank you to his interns, at least.
Yeah, John F. Kennedy, Clinton, and Reagan were probably three of the most winsome. People might not like them for different
Yeah.
things. And did they stumble in different things? Yes. But their outlook was that they recognized that they were a leader of all the people and they wanted to make the place we call home, America, a better place.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those are winsome people. Now, let's go back to this 30-year-old again. So, what would you tell him about his dreams? Would you say, follow your dreams, don't follow your dreams? What would you instruct him to do?
Yeah, I would say having learned in life and looking back at my life, I wish that I would have followed the dreams because what people can find, especially in this day and age of how you can educate yourself quickly in a matter of weeks with what's available in the information world out there, YouTube or online or now with ChatGPT, which you were an early adopter and champion of, keeps you young. But there's so much capability of raising yourself to a level of almost expertise. You know, they say, like, you know, I've been involved with, obviously, I call myself a winsomologist because I study winsome people. You could say I have a PhD in winsome, but same thing with blended families. I've been around that since 2004 and studied more books and things on that. So my point is, the point is to this 30-year-old is, hey, if you've got an idea or a dream, don't necessarily quit your day job and just throw yourself into it, but be working, you know, 5, 6 hours a week to set the stage, educate yourself, and make yourself ready and find a mentor. It's like why I enjoy hanging out with you is because you challenge me, you ask me questions, you push me, you heckle me when I need to be heckled. So you got to have somebody that tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, but you can do things. Everything in my life, I'll just close with this. If I look at, you know, I wanted to be a referee. I got into refereeing. I worked hard at it, tried to engage people that were better than me, and I made it up to the CBA, which was the training grounds and the referee development for the NBA. Then when it was in politics, I decided to run for office in a town there. I wasn't even from the same state or place. Got elected, served 5 terms. And whenever I've tried to do something, radio, you and I went on, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I think I could be on the radio. You know what? You and I, we did it. We've had
Well,
radio
let me ask you
people.
this about your political activity.
What's
Why did
that?
you stop? You were on the council or something. Why didn't you go forward and run for mayor or something?
Yeah, well, I think because at the time, you know, sadly, I'd gone through a divorce during the early part of my city council days, and then was a single dad, which is difficult. Then I got married, had a great marriage. And I just wanted to be after that. I just wanted to be a dad because I wanted to coach my kids in sports. And
Yeah.
yeah, people are saying run for this, run for state rep, run for county commission. And I thought, you know, I've seen the good and bad of public service, which I called it, but the world has a lot of politics. And I just wanted to be a, it's more important to me to be a better dad. You know, I still think once in a while, do I have one more public office in me? Could be.
The difference, in my view, of the suggestions you made to this young man is one specific thing. You suggested don't leave your day job. In my view, if you don't leave your day job, you'll never follow your dreams. Because if you want to achieve your dreams, you have to be 100% committed, not 80%, not 70%, 100%, 100% committed. And there's so many examples of this in companies and businesses where the person was, in fact, 100% committed. That to me is the difference. I've had so many people come to me that want to raise money for their companies. And I say to them, well, what are you doing now? They say, I'm working for ABC company. I said, well, you're never going to raise money. And they say, well, I can't quit my day job because I need the money. See, they missed the point. They missed the whole
Yeah, excellent point.
it's the commitment because when you're committed to something 100%, people will follow you. But when you're 90%, they won't, because
Yeah.
they sense you're not committed. And that's why we have we have cults, and cults are some are very bad. But why do people follow cults? Because the leader is 100% committed. Look at that guy that all those people killed in Jonestown, right?
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
You have to be pretty darn persuasive. But what I'm really saying is that good or bad, people will follow a person who's 100% committed to most anything. I'm committed to this. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to building a building. I'm committed to killing everybody in mass suicide. People will do it.
So what do you
I
think?
See
good, an excellent point, and I probably should have tempered or balanced what I said.
Right.
Is I'm talking about in the very initial, if you have an idea, there's got to be a point where you reach, okay, I've got this idea or this passion, and because you don't want to be able to not pay the bill. A lot of people do that, and then they're not able to
made
pay
the
their
same mistake again.
Bills.
It's
But
not
at what
about,
point?
You've got it, to stop and follow your dreams immediately and either believe God will take care of you or believe you'll find a way to pay the bills. But if those become, let's call it things that get in the way of your dream, you won't follow them. You have to be committed, 100% committed. Same
Do
way
you think
with
that, do you think, Bob, though, that as part of that dream, because a lot of people have a dream, and I'm guilty of this many times in my life, because I've had a lot of failures and a lot of successes, but I know that sometimes if I don't have things thought out or thought through, there's got to be at some
You can
point.
Never think it through, right? And what I'm really driving at is this. The people that say, I'm not ready to follow my dream, I'm not ready to quit my job, I haven't got the analysis yet, those people will never follow their dream, because there's always going to be a reason why you can't follow your dream.
Well,
It's always there.
That's very
It'll be
fair.
something else. Oh gosh, my girlfriend now, she wants me to do this. Well, you got to follow your dream, and either she gets on the train or don't. But I'm saying, if you want to follow your dream, then you must be committed, and everybody else gets on your commitment train or they don't. And you don't care if you're following your dream. And here's the irony. People will respect you for 100% following your dream. They don't respect anybody that does it 60%. The person says, well, I'm not quite ready to do it. No, people follow the people. I hate to say this as an example, but Hitler was a crazy guy. He promised unbelievable things. People followed him. He was totally committed to the point where he was killing people that didn't agree with him. Now, I'm just saying that's one of the problems, but if you follow your dream, people will follow you. If,
yeah.
if there's any evidence of this, it's the Bible, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
People followed Jesus.
Yeah.
He had a dream. He had a mission. People followed him. There was a lot of reasons why they wouldn't follow him, because some of them would get killed if we're following him, right? But what I'm driving at is that I talk to people about this a lot. They have their dreams. And now there's a certain tempering, but once you start tempering your dream, and I've listened to any number of biographies and the people that founded FedEx or Microsoft or even some of the smaller companies that failed. And remember the great poem If by Rudyard Kipling, right?
Oh, man. That's a great point.
I don't
People
remember
have
all
not.
That, but,
Wait, that's worth pausing right now. What Bob Sherwood just said, the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Bob, but you got to get that and read it. It's one of the greatest poems of all time.
Yeah. And so there's certain parts of it, but one part is that can you meet with triumph and disaster? Can you follow your dreams, but don't make dreams your master?
Yes.
And that's
If you
an
can
important
keep your
little,
head
you
when
know,
all around you are losing theirs, it also talks about.
And
So
if
many
you
great
can
quotes.
Give every minute 60 seconds worth of distance run, then you will be a man, my son.
Yes. Oh, you know what? You've got to read, or I've got to read next podcast, not today, but we will read that. I will read that poem to open up. So that's why people will want to come back to the next and listen to you the next podcast, because we're going to do Rudyard.
Now we're
going
to sign off for today. Yeah, we're going to sign off for today, but next time we're going to go through Trump's picks For these cabinet officers, and I counted him. He's made 24 picks so far, and I believe seven are women. And I think he has four or five to go. So the next time we do a podcast, we're gonna go through some of those picks that he's made. All right.
Yes.
So
Yes.
Dan, we have 1 minute left. What is your final message to our listeners?
Well, I'll tell you what. Just keep listening. Stay winsome. Find something. You got to diversify in life. You got to, as we talked about, everybody's got a dream, some idea, something. Follow that and work at it. And just don't go to work and come home and sit at home, watch TV, do stuff. Be as this young man, Bob Sherwood, just celebrated his birthday yesterday. What was your quote? Always be a person of discovery.
Yeah, I'll always be discovering, but my final 15 seconds is this. Here's two things that you need to do starting Monday morning. First, pick up a community college curriculum and enroll in an online course. It'll cost you about $200. It could be painting, it could be psychology, it could be math, it could be Python programming. It's not important. It's not even important that you pass the course. What's important is you enroll in the course and take it and listen, because at the end, I guarantee you will have learned something about yourself and you have expanded your kind of like your local knowledge. That's one thing. The second thing I'm going to say to all people listening is that travel more. Get out of your, what I call your current bubble, and get into another bubble. A bubble might be China or Europe or India. One of my regrets, I can tell you flat out, is that I didn't spend enough time in India and China. And there's roughly 3 billion people there that are never going to be overlooked and have not been overlooked and will have an impact. Remember, America has only got 400 million. We're only about 8 or 9% of the world's population. So we're not a big factor in terms of number of people. So that's my two things. First, enroll in a course tomorrow at your community college. And two, travel more. Pick out some place you've never been in 2025 and book it. Don't say you're going to book it, and do like I do. Book it and pay it in advance. That means you'll always go. I've got a place
Yes.
I've already booked for next year, and I haven't paid for it yet, but I'm going to pay for it. Once I pay for it, I know I'll do it. That's it for today. Hey,
Yes, be
we'll
sure and
sign off.
like this podcast and tell your friends about it. And we'll
You
see
bet.
you back soon.
Signing off.